Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Appetite control in middle age could be affected by your genes, according to new research carried out to examine the link between genetics and weight gain. Ireland has one of the highest levels of obesity in Europe. HSE figures show us that 60% of adults and over one in five children are overweight or obese. Well, Professor Stephen O'Rahilly is director of the Medical Research Council Metabolic Diseases Unit at the University of Cambridge and co-author of this new research. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
So let's talk firstly about the part of the brain that controls our appetite. Tell us about it.
Sure. Well, there's a couple of parts, but mainly there's a little walnut-shaped bit about an inch behind the top of your nose called the hypothalamus. And we've known for over 100 years, either in animals or humans, if you damage it accidentally or get a tumour in that area, the person or the animal becomes very obese. And they become obese because they can't control appetite, but they also burn off calories a bit more slowly. So we've known for, as I say, for a century that that bit of the brain is important. Now, as scientists, we love to know what makes bits of everything work. You know, what are the wires and the chemicals that are involved in that bit of the brain that control those processes? And the hypothalamus, what it does really is it senses everything we eat, all the signals that come from the hormones that come up when we eat. It also senses how much fat we have from signals that come from our fat cells. And it integrates all those into a kind of signal which says you need this much food and you need to burn off this much energy. And if that bit of the brain doesn't work adequately, you're either prone to becoming obese or you're prone to being lean. And genetic variation between people is a strong determinant of what where you are on that spectrum. Of obesity and leanness.
Okay, so that part of our brain, the hypothalamus, is affected by our genes, is it?
Very much so. I mean, everything we are is made of the gene products. You know, we can't get away from our genes. They make all the proteins in our body. So every bit of us, including our hypothalamus, is influenced by the gene variation between us.
So someone who might eat the same as somebody else might experience obesity and the other person could be lean.
That's true, but actually that's the least likely thing. What's most different is that people differ in how much they eat. But that's not because they're good or bad people. It's because their hypothalamus is set differently. And so a lot of the biology we've discovered over the last 30 years about this is that these genes and molecules tell our thinking brains when we're hungry and not hungry, when we feel like going after food or not. And so it's not a question of separating out saying there's volition on the one hand and biology on the other. It's the biology that's really powering our volition.
Mm-hmm. So it essentially is how much we are eating. That's what it comes down to. But
a lot of it. I mean, there's obviously a variation too in how efficient we are at burning off or storing calories. But the majority of the variation that we see is around how much we eat on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. Now, those variations can be very small. Remember, you don't have to have a huge amount more. Just a little bit more every day is enough over years to accumulate a lot of weight.
But our appetites are controlled in very different ways, or our appetites are set at very different levels depending on our genetics, is what you're
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely, yeah. And we first discovered that 30 years ago when we found children who were very obese who had major disruptions of the wiring of the hypothalamus, and really profound. And those children became obese from a very young age and remain severely obese all their lives. And, you know, what's good about that is that in many cases we've been able to find drugs and ways to bypass those wiring and chemical defects. And we have treatments for those children now, many of whom previously would have been very sick and are now healthy because we've been able to bypass the wiring defects. So the whole purpose of this work is to, you know, first of all, the curiosity about finding out how these bits of our brain are wired, but secondly, the humanitarian element of actually being able to do something about it for people who are suffering from a severe and often very poorly understood and certainly often a disorder that doesn't bring much sympathy.
So tell us a little bit about this new research then when it comes to people in middle age.
Yeah, so most of the things that we've found over the last 20 years that we and others around the world, the genes that we find that really have a big effect on weight tend to affect you from a very young age. And so they tend to be, if you like, the wiring diagram is messed up from the beginning. So it's straight away, as soon as you're a child, you're already eating more than your peers and you're putting on more weight than your peers. And we thought that most of the genes would work like that, the genetic variation. So it was really surprising in this study, which was led by my brilliant colleague, John Perry, who's a statistical geneticist. So he looks at huge data sets. So this was done in the UK Biobank, 500,000 people in the UK. And simply looking at basically all the genes and looking at every gene in the genome in 500,000 people, which ones, when they were broken, were associated with the biggest effect on weight in later life. And we found mutations in a gene, which is a rather silly name, bassoon. And surprisingly, the people who carried only one damaged copy of this gene, bassoon, were hugely more obese than those who didn't carry any. And the thing that really struck us with this and another gene that we found, what really struck us was when those people reported what size they were when they were age 10, they were normal size. They weren't obese from an early age. And so that gave us a whole new class of these genes. In some ways, you can think of this, if you think this is a wiring system, an electrical system for your house, what's going wrong here is not how the wiring is set up at the beginning, it's how the wiring is maintained. So we have a maintenance problem. When we lack this protein. And that's telling us that these systems that we have in our brain, they don't just require to be set up from the beginning. They need maintenance throughout their lives. And we've got some ideas about how the proteins that we've been finding have got an influence on the maintenance of neurons.
So this might provide answers for people who have been blaming themselves in middle age, maybe saying, oh, I'm a little more sedentary or I'm experiencing menopause. But actually their problem lies somewhere else entirely.
It could be, but of course, individually, these gene changes are rare. We only found these in 1 in 6,000 people. So there'll only be about 10,000 people in the UK, far fewer in Ireland, in whom this specific gene mutation is found. So I think it's more telling us it's important to think that these mechanisms can occur. Now, it may well be, like we've done with the other rare childhood forms, that we will be able to find a way of bypassing this defect and maybe screening once we get to a stage where we're screening whole populations, we'll be able to do something to stop these people and help them not get obese in the longer term. And that's obviously a long-term aspiration. But this individual genetic defect is rare.
Stephen, there have been changes in treatment of obesity very recently with drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy, and our own clinical lead for obesity with the HSE, Professor Donal O'Shea, who joins us often on this programme. He believes as part of a treatment plan that they're really going to change how obesity is represented in the population, may even lead to obesity becoming a thing of the past. Do you agree?
Well, I think that's a very positive. I know Donald is a great guy, and I'm very sympathetic in a way with his view. I think that I often use the analogy with high blood pressure. We have no difficulty in this country deciding that high blood pressure is very bad. It gives you strokes and heart attacks. So we have no difficulty in giving people medicines that lower their blood pressure and they get less strokes and less heart attacks. If we could find an anti-obesity medicine that was equally safe and effective, we should have no difficulty giving that to people because that will give them less diabetes, less heart attacks, less cancers. And that's where I think we're going now with obesity. We finally have a class of drugs that look effective and safe. Now, no drug is perfectly safe, but we now have big trials which show, really you can count the bodies, that there are fewer people dead in the ones who are given the treatment arm than the ones who are not given the treatment. So it's really showing you that overall it's beneficial to be on these drugs if you happen to be obese. So I think we're not going backwards for this. We're only going to go forwards, and there will only be more of these agents. They'll get better. They'll get more sophisticated. They'll get more tolerable. And I think we're now in the beginning of a new era.
All right. It's very interesting to talk to you, Stephen, and thank you very much for taking the time. That's Professor Stephen O'Rahilly, who's Director of the Medical Research Council Metabolic Diseases Unit at the University of Cambridge.